Edmonton's home for breaking news on your favorite team. This is Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins on 630 CHED.
Name of the show, my mysterious friend. Early second quarter, Patriots leading the Vikings 10-7. Earlier, Dallas over the New York Giants 28-20. Bills late field goal to beat Detroit 28-25. Bills win two straight games in Detroit. Remember, they played a home game there on Sunday because the snow moved them out of Buffalo. World Cup today, Brazil 2, Serbia 0. Portugal beats Ghana 3-2. Uruguay, South Korea, 0-0 draw. Switzerland over Cameroon, 1-0. Just had a great chat with Bob Leonarduzzi, former coach of the Canadian men's national team, played in the 1986 World Cup. And I like that story he told because it is interesting to me. A lot of people watched that match yesterday. And I'm going to make a bit of an assumption that if you're listening to the show called Inside Sports, you probably like sports and you might have watched the match yourself, or you watch the highlights, or you know about what happened. And I do think Canada being in the World Cup pulls in a lot of people who might not usually watch sports because it is just such a big event and it's such a spectacle. So we're all encouraged by how Canada played, but I feel good about how they played, but again, I had a buddy who was just like, well, now we're going to beat Croatia. It's like, well, like, this is the World Cup. Like, these teams are awesome. Croatia finished second 4 years ago. They're ranked higher than Canada. Now, if Canada plays that way again and maybe gets a little finish, then sure, they got a chance. I mean, we're clearly not a walkover team. I mean, even though we're ranked 41st, which isn't that great, I think there's only two or three teams ranked below Canada when you look at the world rankings. But Canada is not this, you know, pushover patsy team that's going to lose 7-0. Who was that Spain beat yesterday, Kellen? 7-0. I can't remember now. I'm double-checking. It's Costa Rica, CONCACAF, which is out of Canada's group. I mean, Canada won CONCACAF. We got great players. We got speed. We got skill. We clearly, and the Belgians said it yesterday, Canada's press gave them trouble. So, yes, Canada did a lot of good things, but I'm also like, let's not think that now all of a sudden we're favored against Croatia. I still don't see it that way. And Leonarduzzi told a great story. In 86, they played pretty well against France. France scored in the final 10 minutes, won 1-0. Then the Soviet Union beat Hungary 6-0. Canada's next game's against Hungary, and they start thinking, well, this is great. We almost beat France. And now we're playing this team that just got hammered. So, we're looking good. And then they lost 2-0 to Hungary and then lost 2-0 to the Soviets and then didn't score a goal and went home with nothing. So, now, better Canadian team for sure, but I suppose it doesn't matter what we as Canadians are thinking. It's what how those players are approaching it. And I'm sure John Herdman has them in the proper mindset. And I don't think they're going to go. I hope they go out there confident. I doubt they're going to go out there overconfident. But I just think if a lot of people are going to watch this game Sunday, as I always usually say when talking about, Oilers or Elks or whoever, expect a difficult game. Expect a close game. Expect it to be tense. Embrace the tension. That's the fun part, isn't it? Surviving games like that. Canada gets a win? Well, okay. Then, take care of business against Morocco, and you're going to be going on to the next round. Fun to be talking about it, though, because so often at the World Cup, we're not talking about Canada at all. They've usually been long eliminated from the process. So Sunday morning at 9 is that next game. I'll be watching it. Going to be fun for sure. Jack Michaels is going to join us in a few minutes. 780-496-0063 is how you can get in touch. The off-topic topic, what famous Canadian who is not a sports figure would you bring in to give a motivational speech to the Canadian men's team? Chris Hadfield was brought in by John Herdman yesterday. We have had Pamela Anderson as a suggestion. Actually, a colleague texted me and said, I think that was my husband that suggested Pamela Anderson. Oh, my. Michael J. Fox has been brought up by a lot of people. There's got to be some other ones, Kellen.
Oh, there are.
Humorous or otherwise.
We got from both sides. We've got humorous, and we have some people who've actually had some serious thought put into this as well.
Oh, good.
Like,
well,
like Ken. Ken texts in and says,
Ken.
Reed, I'd think I'd get Boston Pizza founder and Dragon's Den member Jim Treliving to deliver an inspirational speech to the team. He's also the father of Flames GM Brad Treliving, of course. So while as a businessman, he does have a sports connection and was a former Mountie. Regards from Ken.
Oh, that's an interesting one. Okay, yeah, gave some good thought for that one for sure. What else?
And then we've got the humorous side.
Oh, there's like one serious one, eh? Hey, Ken, you can bask in your uniqueness tonight. You're the one person who took the assignment seriously.
There we go. So, unknown text coming in. The littlest hobo. Why he motivates people and who doesn't like dogs?
That's awesome. That littlest hobo used to be our going into the weekend song on Friday nights. He was replaced by When It's Love by Van Halen.
Exactly.
Littlest hobo would be a great motivational speaker. Wow, that's incredible.
We've got a different unknown texter texting in Red Green.
Okay, all right. We had somebody here at work dressed up as Red Green for Halloween.
Yes.
Yeah.
Another unknown text. Please, people, sign a nickname or something to these texts.
Yeah, give yourself a goofy name.
Exactly.
You know, like Charles.
If you're afraid of putting your real name, just put a goofy name in. Yeah. This one's interesting because it has a kind of a current tie into it. Ryan Reynolds as Van Wilder.
Okay, I like that one. I have more to say on that in a minute.
So there we go. We also got from Terry texting in Ricky and Julian, Trailer Park Boys.
Oh, okay. I never watched that show. Well, okay. Would they be good? I don't know.
There would be a lot of profanity in their
Well, that's fine. That's fine.
It would be a very
it's akin, an adult environment.
It'd be akin to
not
a John Tortorella pregame speech in Philly or something, I think. So.
Okay. So I went around the office today and I got some suggestions from half a dozen colleagues. I put them on the spot. Somebody suggested Ryan Reynolds.
All right.
So that would be interesting. He would probably take it seriously because Reynolds, he has sort of this goofball persona. He's, you know, in the Deadpool movies, he's kind of playing himself, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think he's a very thoughtful and intelligent person. So he could probably do something funny, but also that would pull at the heartstrings a little bit and get people motivated. Somebody said David Suzuki. Another person suggested Drake. I believe he's a singer.
I believe he is over in Qatar right now. He was at the opener.
Oh, was he? Oh, he maybe was. Maybe he is up next. Somebody said Jim Carrey. If you wanted a lot of different voices, I guess.
Yeah, no kidding.
Somebody said Rick Mercer.
Oh.
Oh, Kellen likes that one. You're downright giddy about that one.
Would he be doing a pregame speech from an alleyway somewhere in Qatar, you know, with
kittering.
That camera doing all the swoops and stuff, you know?
And then we also had William Shatner as a suggestion.
Yeah. Hey, there we go.
But Michael J. Fox is a good one.
Yes.
Michael J. Fox is an absolute good one. 780-496-0063. That's fun. If we get in a few more, we'll get to them later. We got Jack Michaels, who is enjoying American Thanksgiving, and he wants Canada to change the way it does Thanksgiving. Coming up.
Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins is brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta's precedent-setting injury lawyers.
He is the play-by-play voice of your Edmonton Oilers, usually on Sportsnet, sometimes on 630 CHED. He is my good friend, Jack Michaels. Jack, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
It's been a while, Reed. I realize you must have reached the end of your calling list if I'm back in the mix. So I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you for gracing me with this blessing to be on your hallowed airwaves during this most, I guess, important of American holidays.
Well, that's why, actually, for American Thanksgiving, you're at the top of the list. Most other days, you're not.
You don't know any other Americans.
That's true. I thought, who do I get on that I know that's American that would actually say yes? And I thought, well, Jack Michaels. So here you are.
It's a pretty slim list. And that would go for any country, by the way.
Well, anybody outside of Canada, yeah, I don't have a lot of international connections, but thankfully I have you.
I'm including Canada, Reed. Who's kidding who?
Well, you're my favorite American who lives in Sherwood Park, so that's got to mean something.
Oh, all right. Well, that's, yeah, me and two others, I believe.
So you get to spend most of the week, and specifically Thanksgiving. Okay, now, first of all, I got to ask you, do we call it, because I'm a little bit confused, is Thanksgiving in America just the Thursday? Is it all 4 days, and this is specifically Thanksgiving Thursday?
No, Thanksgiving is today. And what you know, I will say this. I think Canada does a lot of things better than America. Thanksgiving is not one of them. We've made it a four-day weekend. Most people knock off work before noon on Wednesday, so it really turns into a four-and-a-half, five-day weekend. And you know what? I mean, what could be better than turkey and football? And you don't have to work the next day. You got three more days off. It's a lower stress environment than Christmas. I just think American Thanksgiving is the most perfect of holidays, especially if you're a sports guy. So, you know, the first thing I do, and again, as you know, I'm no threat to become the next premier, but if I was, I would immediately change Canadian Thanksgiving and get it on more of the four-day program. I feel like it's an undervalued holiday in this country. And I think, to be honest with you, Reed, if you polled right now, I think a lot of Canadians would agree with me.
Okay, so what so Friday is called Black Friday, but that's
shopping, and that shopping. Really,
so what's it actually called then?
Well, it is called Black Friday, but I mean, 20 years ago it wasn't called anything.
Yeah,
except
exactly.
Thanksgiving. Yeah, shopping is okay. Has kind of taken over that Friday. That's really in the last 20 years. That was not a thing growing up that you referred to it as Black Friday. Not ever.
Okay, so for you to be, and I know you're not in your hometown or getting to visit with your mom and dad or anything, but to be, you know, in Manhattan on Thanksgiving, like what's the vibe like? Is this a kind of a special feeling for you?
Well, I mean, I had an invite and a parking spot at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I've been to one before, so I elected to take a pass. I had a couple of functions earlier. The great thing about Thanksgiving, and especially when you have friends in the area, as I do, is you get a lot of invites. And so I'm on the way to the third of four functions that I've been invited to today. And it does. Thanksgiving is one of those holidays where, and I know Americans get a bad name from time to time, but really you do invite people you normally wouldn't see. If you know someone is out of town and doesn't have family around, you ended up getting, you know, an extended invite. And I've been very fortunate in this game of pro hockey to get a lot of invites for Thanksgiving. And, you know, it makes you feel good. This is a great holiday. It really is. And it's, you know, again, I would suggest it's a little different. Quite frankly, I think Canada does a better job of celebrating Christmas. I like how Edmonton kind of basically shuts down for, you know, the 2 days before Christmas and the, you know, 5 or 6 days after Christmas. But, you know, in terms of American Thanksgiving, I think this is something that, you know, my home country got right.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it. And we'll see if you ever become the, you probably have to be prime minister to actually change Thanksgiving across the country. But
what did
you never
say?
Know.
I said premier. I gotta get my political titles down. I thought you were going to give me some tutelage there, Reed. I still have a lot of work to do there.
I didn't want to cut you off, Mitch. As long as maybe you could be the lieutenant governor, not the lieutenant governor, the lieutenant governor. That's another thing.
Yeah, I would have definitely said, lieutenant for sure.
Well, I still do something. Sometimes too. Okay. this is awesome that you get to be down there, and thanks a lot for hopping on the show. Well, that's the most shots the Oilers have ever had and not scored in a game, going all the way back.
Yeah, I know.
To October,
I gave you credit
79.
For that last night. That was a good dig by you, and you know, it was kind of eerily reminiscent of what Ben Scrivens did to San Jose several years ago. It's just one of those nights, and I don't know about you, Reed. You know, I have to be honest, and I don't know whether you had the similar conversation with Rob Brown as you were watching the game. I said to Louis early in the second period, I said, I don't think we're getting one by this guy. And that was early in the second period. And I'm usually not a guy who likes to kind of throw that stuff out there. I'm not really into jinxing goaltenders. I wasn't trying to do that. I was just thinking that, honestly, I don't think there's an object small enough that the Oilers are going to be able to put past this guy. He just... And you know what? And maybe it's because the Oilers always saw Georgiev instead of Shesterkin. But the games I've seen, both live and on television, I think Sorokin's the better goaltender. I really do. I think this guy is going to win the Vezina this year. I really do. And not just because of last night. I think he's been very quietly underrated the last couple of years, especially last season when the Islanders didn't make the playoffs. This guy's unbelievable. I just, at no point did I think not only the Oilers weren't going to win, I didn't think the Oilers would score. I mean, he just looked so locked in. And, yes, you can talk about some coverage on the goals, but ultimately, you've still got to be able to score to win. And I think Edmonton played a pretty decent road game. They got goalied. That's the way I look at last night's game. I really do.
Yeah, I guess the frustrating thing for the Oilers is it's just kind of if that loss knocks them down to 12-8 or 13-7, maybe we're saying, well, okay, it was bound to happen. Though I do think the only thing I'd say about that,
Reed, and I'm not making excuses here, it's just facts, is, you know, you got 11 games against Anaheim, San Jose, and Arizona that haven't been accounted for. That's 20% of their schedule, or, you know, 17% of the games left on their schedule. I am not taking Edmonton off the hook here. I don't think they've hit their stride. I agree with Jay Woodcroft that they seem slightly off kilter. They haven't had the right chemistry. Obviously, the loss of Evander Kane has hurt. Jack Campbell has not gotten off to a great start. Kyler Yamamoto, before he was hurt, and Jesse Puljujärvi currently are not producing from the right side. All that aside, this has been a murderous schedule. Murderous. They went through a stretch of 12 out of 14 games against teams that made the playoffs the previous year. Then, in the next two games, they played teams that had a combined record of 28-7, including a club that tied a club record for a winning streak. They have had nothing but one brutal opponent after another. The schedule will lighten up. And I think Edmonton should be able to get healthy with a couple of quality wins over teams that, quite frankly, they should beat. But right now, the way the games are stacking up, it just seems one after another, you're either catching a team on a scorchingly hot streak or you're catching a club that has the same goals the Edmonton Oilers do. And when you're in that kind of class, you're not going to win all your games. So 500, to me, looks slightly better than if they had seen a lot of San Jose, Anaheim, Arizona, you know, to name a few early on. That's all right. I'm saying.
No, I get what you're saying. Okay. Well, thanks for fitting me in between doing some Thanksgiving, visiting Jack. And
that's all the time I get? Was I that dull?
Well, I got to let you have a social life. I'm trying to be thoughtful. So even when I try to be thoughtful, I'm wrong.
Yeah, you are wrong a lot. I do grant you that. I have to admit, Reed, on this day again where you give thanks for the valuable relationships in your life, I'll concede that I do find ways to make you wrong even when you're not wrong. So I'll concede that.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.